Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested. And all thumbs up. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It's Lisa. And I am here with my BFF always.
Tawny. I have two Tawnies now. There's two.
Double Tawny.
Tawny squared.
So today, we're going to talk about a subject that I had some recent experience with. And that is just generally something that can be tricky, which is traveling while sober travel. So it occurred to me, you know, when I would preface it by saying when I was drinking, travel for me certainly equaled drinking, right? So if it was in the context of a vacation, you know, all bets were off, I'd be drinking, you know, as soon as like I could, the bar open wherever I was. But also there's that traveling aspect, right? So I would be drinking as soon as I got to the airport because why not? There were always people drinking at any hour. The airport is like a casino, right? Where like there's no real time, right? It's just, and
yes,
you see people drinking at all odd hours, like nobody's judging. I always say that airports were always for me, like just giant bars with wide hallways because, I would get there and immediately go have a drink, whatever, whenever it was. And, you know, on the plane, I would drink. If I was on a train, on the train, I would have a drink. And, you know, it's those kinds of habits when we first get sober that present like kind of scary situations where, you know, there is the, it's sort of like breaking the old habit that I would have when I would walk through the door at the end of the day and pour a glass of wine. Like it just became an extension of my arm when I walked into my apartment. And so, traveling, it's been the same thing. And we were very fortunate, my husband and I were very fortunate to go to Greece recently. One of my college besties, her son got married on Santorini, which was ridiculously beautiful and wonderful, and it was great. But I was also just noticing, you know, now, thankfully, being sober for 18 years, it's not hard for me to do this stuff, but I kept thinking about the people who it would be hard for, right? Like from the start of, you know, getting to the airport for a big trip and just being, you know, the hassle, like right now, and I'm sure so many of you have experienced what a nightmare traveling is right now, and that, you know, everything takes more time, everything feels like, just that much more stress. There's that many more people. There's all these cancellations. You don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, so kind of it's immediate aggravation, right? And I like to go into travel, like I like to go into everything else, really practicing halt. Don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And traveling is just like, here, have all of those served up at once, right? And like staying in halt. So I did things like I packed snacks like out the wazoo because I do get hungry. And I know myself, for some reason, when I'm traveling, I eat more. I just like, I feel like I'm hungry more, even if I'm not, and I eat more. And, you know, I tried to not get angry with frustrations in the travel. I was not lonely because I had my husband, you know, with me the whole time. And then I was with friends and all out there. But I also had like the tired because we were on this crazy, from first of all, traveling to a Greek island from Southern California is like a 22-hour event. Oof. By the time you do everything. And so I was definitely tired and then totally like disoriented time-wise, you know? And I just found that I had to keep checking in with myself. And I kind of do it reflexively now, but I had to keep checking in with myself whenever I could feel that sort of tension build in me, like, or my, you know, I have TMJ and I feel my jaw is the first thing that I start to feel something in when I'm getting anxious or tense or whatever. And I had to just keep being like, okay, what do I need now? What do I need now? And, you know, then there was also the aspect of just being around a ton of alcohol. So it can be a tricky thing. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about it and acknowledge the fact that, like, tricks that I use, things that I do, like I definitely keep food with me. I have a good like eye shade thing so I can try to sleep on the plane at least and think about those things. I load up my phone with podcasts downloaded so I have that to listen to. I try to keep myself occupied. Crossword puzzle books, my Kindle, like all that stuff. And if I go in fully loaded like that, I'm less likely, like if I start getting aggravated or something, I'm able to distract myself much easier. And a lot of getting through like a craving or a feeling of being frustrated or whatever it is get for me, getting distracted is the best way out of it. I mean, it's not unrelated to the idea of reaching out to a newcomer when you're in your own sort of pity party, right? Just distract yourself, like get into somebody else's head, get into something else. And, you know, it was on the way back, we were in the Athens airport, we pulled out from the gate. And so we were taking off and we had a connection in Washington, D.C. And all of a sudden the pilot came on and said, wait, we now found that there's this safety thing we have to check and we have to go to this other hangar to check it. So we all have to stay on the, everybody has to stay on the plane. We ended up sitting at the hangar, not getting off the plane at all for between 5 and 6 hours. I forget exactly how long it was. And there were babies on the plane and it was a packed 787, you know, it's like a big plane. And I just was watching people getting all, you know, seating, and I just had to keep like bringing it to where are my feet. It's okay, because they were, maybe we're going to go, we're not going to go, maybe we're going to go. And then finally we went. And so we never got off the plane. It's an 11-hour flight, or it was over 10 hours to get to Dulles. So we had been on that plane.
Oh my God, Lisa.
Like, between like 16, 17 hours. And of course, you know, we had missed our connection. We had to get a hotel. It was just all this stuff. And I was thinking of how drunk I would have been in the past, right? Like
there's this like fuck it mentality of like, well, I'm stuck on a plane for 5 hours. I might as well have a drink.
Get shit faced, right? And like, I would have been so not, you know. Instead, when I saw that we weren't going to make the connection, I was on the app with United to get us rebooked to figure out what was going to. I wouldn't have been functioning. I'd probably still be in DC right now. And you know, I just had to keep telling myself, like, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know, we're on a plane, we're safe, we're not, you know, whatever. And getting through it, and how grateful I was to not be drunk for that, but also seeing how, yeah, I see how people get really upset and, you know, could really lash out in these moments. It was bad. How about you? Happy sober travel.
I mean, no, that sounds like hell. I mean, I'm glad that you guys are home and recovering from that. Like, for me, the airport still has this air of, just like there's no rules,
you know, like a casino.
Yeah. I mean, even though I no longer drink, there's still this, like, I eat food at an airport that I wouldn't normally eat. I'm more likely to eat junk food at the airport. I'm more likely, you know, just things like that. I guess it's maybe the stress of travel that makes us want to indulge, whether it's in a drink, whether it's food. I don't know, but
it's kind of a numbing. And for me, like, I'll eat like chocolate, like I wouldn't normally shovel the same way.
Yeah.
And it's a dopamine thing. I know it is.
It is. Yeah. It's very interesting. You know, like, just traveling in general can bring up so much discomfort. I mean, there's people have fear of flying. People don't like turbulence. People don't like flight delays. You know, there's all sorts of life happening on life's terms at an airport.
Oh my God. So out of our control, right?
Yeah. So it's like, so I'm glad that you brought up the halt thing.
Yeah.
You know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, because it brings up all of that, which can feel incredibly overwhelming. It can feel unmanageable. It can be very triggering.
Yes.
And there's also this, you know, this level of anonymity of it where, you know, even still, I'll just like, I could have a drink at this bar and nobody would know. Nobody would know.
It is the epitome of that place. It is the epitome of that.
Yeah, it really is. And it's like, no matter what time of day it is, 8 a.m., doesn't, like, someone's having a drink, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're having a cheeseburger and a beer at 8 a.m.
Exactly. You know?
And that's not weird at an airport.
No, because I sit there and I look at them. I'm like, they could have just gotten off a flight from halfway around the world where they're
totally,
like, you know, you just, it's that anonymity is the perfect, it's the most anonymous place there is.
But you also brought up a good point about, you know, you went to a wedding and sober weddings are, I'm sorry, being sober at a wedding.
Yeah.
Is its own level of difficulty. And you know, you have recovery on your belt, under your belt, you have your sobriety toolbox. What would you, I don't know, like, do you have any words of wisdom for someone who's maybe going to their first sober wedding? Like, they're traveling for their first time sober.
Yeah.
They're going to their first sober wedding. That's a lot of discomfort. What would you tell someone to do?
I went to my first wedding sober, and it was a destination. I had to travel to Park City, Utah. And so it involved the travel and being solo at a wedding and being sober, all of that. And it was right around my 1 year anniversary sober. So I didn't take it on. I didn't have to take it on until I was, you know, just about at a year. But I completely, there's this, and I know I've mentioned this book before, Living Sober, which is just this little Hazelden book. I think it's Hazelden. I'll put a link in the notes. But that just has all these tips and tricks for somebody like me who never, you know, would have thought of things like, if you're going to a wedding sober, don't go hungry. Eat something. And then if you don't eat your whole dinner or whatever, or you don't eat as many apples, don't save yourself for the food so that you're, you know, really getting into the hall thing, right? Make sure you're not hungry when you show up at a place where people are all raising a glass to everybody and doing all that stuff. Carrying like little Hershey's Kisses and stuff in my bag so I could like have that when I wanted it. The idea of just not necessarily like just to me, like you hang out at the bar, like you can hang out far away from the bar. You can, you know, duck out and call your, like I did, duck out and call my sponsor, duck out and call a sober friend, you know, bookend conversations with people before you go and after you go. And, you know, you don't have to take the pressure off yourself, right? You don't have to love it. You don't have to be like, I'm so psyched to be sober at this wedding. You know what I mean? I could be like, okay, like, all right, yeah, I'm not drinking. And it's fine.
I mean, you can admit that it kind of sucks and you're just going to get through it.
You can be like, okay. I don't love this. I don't want to, you know, I haven't done it before. I don't want to do it every time. Like, yeah, like, look, even now, like this wedding, the thing I was least looking forward to was watching a bunch of people get drunk and party. And that's what happened, you know, but like I could extract myself from watching it on the dance floor. I didn't have to stand there and watch it. I didn't have to hang out by the bar. You know, I could wander out, you know, and obviously, like, I'm much older now. So it's like the demographic on the dance floor is not me. Although I was out there a lot. But I eat all the food at the wedding, too. I eat all the bread. I eat all the desserts.
I was going to say, get an extra slice of cake.
Oh my God, the cake was so outrageous. And I remember just being eating the cake at this wedding. I remember just being so grateful. That was a moment I was actually like, I'm so glad I'm sober for this because this fucking cake is so good. I mean, it really was. And I wouldn't have eaten it because I would have been like, oh no, I'm not eating cake. Yeah. I don't eat dessert while I'm whomping down like 2000 calories of alcohol. You know, like, I would have missed it because I was, you know, somewhere doing something stupid. And, you know, so it is, there's a lot of good that comes with it. Like, now I'm at the point where, like, yeah, it's kind of fun to get dressed up. You know, it's not, I don't dread going to a wedding anymore. But I'll be honest, it's never my favorite thing. It's never going to be. Because it's a different kind of celebration than I prefer at this point.
What you were saying was really making me think about how, like, you know, when I quit drinking, my barometer for, I guess, just my tolerance for just what I'm not into really just like,
yeah,
really changed. Because like, I would say yes to things, be like, I mean, I'll do it, but I'll need a drink. Or,
right.
Yeah, I'll go to this event with you, but I need a drink.
Right.
It's just like,
no, right.
So now, like, I just don't do things that I don't want to do. Unless, if you do things to support your loved ones. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the getting dragged to something that you really, like, yeah, someone like else could go.
It's someone else's, right. It's someone else's thing you want to show up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to go. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to skip that. How about I just take you out to lunch instead? And that's, you know, that's how you celebrate, and that's totally okay. And
that reminds me of, you know, the way I used to think about things, that I realized I was very social when I was drinking, and I realized that a lot of what I was doing, you know, like said this before, like people go to a party because they want to, you know, get together, see people, chit chat, they have a drink or something to like loosen up if they want, whatever, they have a few drinks, whatever it is. But the drinks are there to facilitate the interactions. With me, I was going for the alcohol, and the interactions were just what came along with it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were there for the people, not the booze. I was there for the booze, not the people. So, yes. You know what when I realized that, I was like, oh, so yeah. So maybe because I'd want to like go to something maybe I would have gone to before. And I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to go to that. I really don't want to do that.
Yes. That's exactly it.
So
it's like,
it
no,
totally
I'm just.
It totally hits a nerve.
It totally does. And I've had a friend that just was so kind to make sure that they had non-alcoholic drink options at their wedding. Like Nick, you know, one of Nick's really good friends, and she knows I work with a lot of non-alcoholic drink brands. And she's like, what drink should I have at my wedding? I want to have a non-alcoholic drink option. And I was like, first of all, you're amazing. Thank you for that. Like, I know we won't be the only people who appreciate it. And they ended up, they went with Curious Elixirs, which we love. They, you know, Curious Elixirs has like 6 or 7 different. They come in different bottles and they have different flavors. And it sold out. Like everyone was drinking Curious Elixirs at this wedding. And it's like, you know, on one side of the bar, it was like, here's the drink option, like the alcoholic drink options. And then there was a menu on the other side of non-alcoholic drink options. And people loved it. Kids had something to drink. Yeah. People that didn't want to drink had something fun. It's just like, and I think more people are starting to notice that. And it's not just like, how can I be kind to my sober friends? It's also like, I don't want my family wasted at my wedding, you know, like we got to give some other options.
No, I mean, it's true. It's true. It always, and I know I've said this before, but like, it always amazes me how when given the opportunity, when given like the appealing choice of a non-alcoholic beverage, so many people will grab it. It's like, it's how it's the same thing. I don't understand that, or, you know, I see it now better, but the same way I could never understand how somebody would leave half a glass of wine on a table.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like, you can't do that.
It's a Nick says it's a magic trick when he sees someone finish a half or they leave a half full pint glass at the bar. He's like, that's a magic trick. I don't know how they
I don't know how
that.
To do that. Right. You kind of want to call after them like, hey.
No, I know. I'm like that just with anything. I think it's growing up with the clear your plate mentality of
Me too.
I even if I'm like, I'm done with the coffee, I feel like I have to finish it. Or
no, me too.
Just whatever it is, like, it's just like, oh, I don't want to be wasteful. But then it's like, but even if I'm drinking it and I don't like it, it's still a waste.
Yeah. Well, that's I Craig and I laugh about this because I always incorporate what I had a trainer at some point, and I was talking about that idea that, you know, I was like a total clean plate club, and she said to me, "Don't use your body like a garbage can."
Yes, that's so good.
And so I think with travel, I think the biggest thing we have to go at it with is just like going in with the right frame of mind. Like you said, like, it is the ultimate being out of control experience, right? Mm-hmm. Just being, trying to be in the moment. The only thing we can control, we can't control anything about the situation, about getting to the airport, about what it's like at the airport, being on the plane, the train, whatever, going to the beach, being at the wedding. But we can control how we react to it.
Mm-hmm.
And 100%. If we tee ourselves up, like, part of the reason I think that we didn't freak out on the when we were on that plane for 17 hours was because we had already been in, we had gotten ourselves in a frame of mind of like, okay, look, we know it was 4th of July weekend when everything was going insane with the flights. We know something's going to happen. It's not going to, you know, good chance it's not going to be smooth sailing, but, you know, we're on the way home. It's a long weekend. If we get caught up, you know, if something happens, we're not missing anything this weekend. And we're just going to be patient and just, you know, not get ourselves worked up. We sort of like very much got in that headspace, and that definitely helped. You know, like, it was like, okay, became pretty clear. We're not going to make our connection. This trip is about to go south. Let's figure out how we deal with it. And it is not, it would have been a waste of energy to get ourselves all jacked up.
It's, I mean, and I think that is why it's so important, like you said, to call a sponsor or have an accountability buddy, because there's so much that we can't control, but we can control. Take your tools, bring the full toolbox, bring it all with you. Let your friend, your sponsor, whoever, let them know, hey, between 2 and 5, I'm going to be really stressed out because of this.
Yeah.
Can I call you if I need a pep talk during that time? You know, like, let them know that you might need them. And I know it's hard to ask for help, but your friend will be happy to be there for you, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just talking to someone else. Like, yesterday I texted Lisa because I was spiraling about something, and it just felt good to word vomit and vent and get it out. And then you and I commiserated together. And then we both always think it's just him,
whatever it is. We always think it's just us that this happens to, or that this is happening to, and that we're alone in this. And then it's like, oh, dude, I totally, let me tell you. Yeah, I get what you feel. And yeah, so that's
just have a buddy, like just have it lined up just in case.
Yeah.
Or have, you know, like you said, download a bunch of podcasts that like put you in a good mood and listen to those, like,
Bring your noise canceling headphones for sure.
Yes. I love that. Or, you know, make a playlist of songs that make you happy when you know you're going to be in a really uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Like there are some things that you can do to make these really crappy situations just a little bit more tolerable.
And it's constant like serenity prayer, right?
Yep.
You know, knowing the difference between what I can and can't control, the wisdom to know the difference, and where you can't control it, let it go.
That's real.
Let it go. And, you know, it was when I remember when I first had to travel, going to the airport and being like, okay, I'm going to have a game plan. I'm going to have this whole bag of snacks packed. I'm not going to go near where the bars. I'm going to find a gate where nobody's sitting. I'm going to put on my headphones. I'm going to listen to whatever I'm listening to, and I'm gonna eat and read my trash magazines and do all
that. Yes, trash mags.
Yeah, so it's just like change the script. And when we're sober, we have the opportunity to kind of do that.
Well,
so
speaking
any music, Of course, I think of Interstate Love Song.
Yeah, that's a perfect one
for music. STP.
Well, you said let it go. So of course I have let it go in my head from Frozen.
Yeah.
And then, like for weddings, I was thinking about White Wedding by Billy Idol.
Oh my God. White Wedding. I love it. That's very true. I wanted on the Music Minute too thing. I wanted to say, did you watch the J-Lo documentary?
I haven't watched it yet.
Watch it.
Okay. What is it on?
Netflix.
Okay.
It's called Halftime.
Yeah, no, I know. And there's like a lot of drama about her and Shakira, and it's like juicy.
It's not that much. That drama is way overplayed.
Okay. That's just to get people to watch it.
I think so. But it's really like for me, I remember when she was a fly girl. It was, and I know obviously this thing was designed to be a showcase for her, but you know, there was just a lot of, I was just blown away by her work ethic and like her complete, when you watch her like talking to the other dancers and just doing whatever and how her passion came through, I thought, and that was pretty cool.
I need to check it out. That's just hearing you describe it as reminding me of Gaga's 5'2", the documentary from like 27. Oh my God, like 5 years ago. Just seeing the behind the scenes and seeing them as actual human beings other than these iconic performers. They deal with stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. Anyway, I would definitely recommend that.
I'll check it out.
So if you're looking for something to watch while you're traveling.
Yeah, there we go. Download J-Lo's documentary on your laptop and then watch it while you travel.
And then
you'll be fine.
Yeah, watch it while you're sitting on a tarmac for 5.5 hours.
Oh my God.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available in bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.